Okay, here we go. We are up to the 19th Perek, Perek Yutes of Sefer Shoftim, the last story, the last tragic story, maybe the most famous story here in the end of the book, the story of Pilegish Begiva, where the Navi describes that, again, there was no Melech for Yisrael, there was unruly behavior spiritually, and there was a man who had a pilegesh, had a concubine. We'll have to talk about what that is, who he was with, and the concubine did something wrong, so the concubine went back to live with her father, and then after a couple of months, the man has a change of heart, and he goes to try to get his concubine back, and he stays with his concubine's father, if you call it a father-in-law, for a couple of days, and after a couple of days, he starts heading out back to his land in Ephraim. On the way, he stops in Binyamin, in an area of Binyamin, and he stays overnight. He can't find anybody to take him in. He's going to stay on the street. Finally, an older man, who's from Ephraim, who doesn't even come from Binyamin, comes and takes him in, a blatant difference of behavior than the rest of the town, who obviously did not take him in, and after he is in, a very Sodom-like behavior comes into the psukim. They knock on the door, they say, well, please let us in, please give us your guest, we want to be mezana with him, mishkav zachar, and they say, no, please, please, please stop, and finally he sends his concubine out, he sends his pilegesh out, and overnight they are ma'anis her over and over again, and by the next morning he finds her on his doorstep dead. And he takes her back to his town, and he cuts her up and sends a piece to each of the Shvatim, mutilating her. We'll have to see why he did that and why he was allowed to do that, if he was allowed to do that. And this sets the stage for, it is one of the most tragic events on a personal level, but then sets this on an individual level, but then sets the stage for the civil war that takes place amongst Am Yisrael, the most major civil war in the history of Am Yisrael, where all the Shvatim fight against Binyamin for this treacherous, for this terrible beastful, animalistic act that takes place, and that will come up in the next parakim, but this parak lays the stage. Anyone who sees this at the end of the parak says, oi, how could this be? There's never been anything like this in the history of Am Yisrael. That's the parak. That's lays the foundation for the story here and in the next two parakim. So, what could we learn from this parak? So, we start off by realizing, again, that this took place, according to Chazal, at the beginning of Sefer Shoftim. Before the Shoftim took place, according to, again, the Radakim, Rabbanel quoted a pshat that could be al derech, the psukim themselves, but we assume that it happened even earlier. Some of the Achronim, I saw, point out that they, B'nai Yisrael, get very upset, and they react against what happened. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu gets upset at them. Why is that? We have to look at it in perspective. We have these two stories that happen one after another. We have the story of Pesel Micha, the Avodah Zarah that was taken up north, and there was a whole alternate Mishkan that was set up. And here, Bnei Yisrael didn't cry and scream when Pesel Micha was set up. Only here, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, you're upset when something happens to a fellow Jew, but what about me? You don't care about what happens to me? Avodah Zarah, don't worry about. Shvichas Damim? Oh. So, in that regard, we have to look at these put these in light of each other and realize that Ben Adam al-Macham and Ben Adam al-Chaver are a package deal. If we don't focus on one, it will probably lead to not focusing on the other one, in either direction. If somebody only focuses on Ben Adam al-Makom, so then their Ben Adam al-Chaver is going to be warped, and even their Ben Adam al-Makom is going to get inappropriate and crooked, if we don't have the balance of the Ben Adam al-Chaver. And also, like here, if we only focus on the Ben Adam al-Chaver, then we could even leave Avodah Zarah up north, and we won't try to get rid of it. It's a balance, it's a package deal. And if we negate one, that it will lead to Chas v'Shalom losing everything. The Rav Huttner that I like to quote, Rashi at the end of Parshas Mishpatim. Rashi says on the pasuk that when we have Maimon Har Sinai take two in Perek Chav Dalet of Shmos, we have the Moshe Rabbeinu bringing karbanos at Har Sinai, and it says he brought animals, they were karbanos, he takes half the blood and sprinkles half on the Am and half on the Mizbeach. Asks Rashi, quoting the Medrash, who split the blood? Answers Rashi, b'malach v'chilako. An angel came down from heaven and split the blood in half. Ask Rav Huttner, you need an angel to come down from heaven to split the blood? Moshe wasn't a good measurer. He couldn't do half and half. See, they didn't have measuring cups in the Midbar. They didn't know exactly what you need a malach to come down. Explains Rav Huttner, what were these two bloods symbolic of? Half sprinkled on the Mizbeach, that's been Adam LaMakom. Half sprinkled on the Am, that's been Adam LaChavero. And lest anyone in history think that one is more important than the other one, that one rules, b'malach v'chilko. A malach came down and from heaven split it exactly because these are two parts of our Avodas Hashem, the Ben Adam LaMakom and LaChavero. And then he has the great line where he says, the godless of Yisrael Meir HaKohen from Radin was not that he wrote the Sefer Mishneh Berurah, which is all about Ben Adam LaMakom, and not that he wrote the Sefer Shmiras HaLashon Chafetz Chaim, which is all about Hilchas Ben Adam LaChavero, but that the same author penned both Sfarim. That was the godless of Yisrael HaKohen, because package deal, Ben Adam LaMakom, Ben Adam LaChavero, and that's the first lesson we learn. If they didn't protest Pesal Micha, and they protested here, okay, it's great that you protest here, but if you only protest here and not there, so then that creates an entirely warped sense of Avodas Hashem. That's even before we get started, that is the first message that we have. Okay, so here we go. Vayi bayam mahem u'melech ein b'Yisrael. There is no king. We mentioned last parak that this phrase appears three times in these prakim. One could suggest that these three appear by each of the Gimel Averos Achamuros. Right here, we have it by Gili Arias. That's Iker what happened, Gili Arias. She ends up dying, but really what they violated was Gili Arias. If you have it, we had earlier in Parak Yud Zayin, Pasik Vav, we had it by Pesel Micha, Bayam Mahem, and Malach Yisrael, Ish Kol Asher Beidav Yaseh. That was about Azara. That was by the Pesel. And then we have it when the family of Dun was going up to wipe out the family, the city of Laish. We had that in the last parak. Yud Ches Aleph. That was by Shvichas Damim. So by all three, when there's anarchy, spiritual anarchy, Ein Melech B'Yisrael, there's nobody in charge, that could lead to the Gimel Averis HaChamuros, Gili Arayas Avodah Zarah, and Shvichas Damim. Okay. There was a man of Levi that was living there. Vayikach lo isha pilegesh v'beis lechem Yehuda. And he takes a pilegesh, a concubine. This is, pilegesh itself is a major discussion in Lumdis, in Halacha. What exactly is a pilegesh? Right, and there's not a consensus in the different Rishonim. If you look in Rashi, what is the Gemara? We'll start with the Gemara. The Gemara in Sanhedrin. But the problem is there are different gersos in the Gemara. The Gemara in Sanhedrin on Daf Chaf Aleph. What does the Gemara say? What's the definition of a pilegesh? Nashim biksuba ubikidushin. A regular wife has a ksuba and kiddushin. Pilegesh, below ksuba, u below kiddushin. That's our girsa in the Gemara. No ksuba and no kiddushin. And that's the Rambam's girsa in Hilchas Malachim. Pilegesh, below ksuba, u below kiddushin. That's not what Rashi says at the end of Chayasara. You can look there. He has a different girsa, pashtus of the Gemara. So even what a pilegesh is not clear. Then the next question is a pilegesh mutter? Is a man allowed to have a pilegesh? Right, the Gemara talks about it. David had pilakshim, had many pilakshim. Shlomo, so the Rambam says in Hilchas Malachim, and this is the Rambam Shita, and the Ramban is very upset about it. The Rambam says only kings. Only a king is allowed to have a pilegesh. That's the Shita's Rambam. He says, Avala hediot aser bepilegesh elo ba'ame ivriya bilvad achar yid. No pilakshim except for a king. The Shaila is, so is it an Issa d'Araisa or an Issa d'Rabanan for everyone else? That's a machlokas achron, and what the pshat of the Rambam is. If it's an Issa d'Araisa, then it's going to have a very difficult time explaining why it's usher to everybody else and mutter to a king. There's no pasuk in Chumash that says that. And if it's d'Rabanan, you have to figure out why it will be usher d'Rabanan for everyone else. The Ramban and others ask that, where do you see that from? Where do you see that it's only for a king? But that is an important shita of the Rambam, which, there's a lot more to say about Pilegesh, but, let's continue and stick to the story, and then we'll see at the end. What happened to this Pilegesh? Vatizna elav pilagsho. The Pilegesh did something wrong. The language of the pasuk is Vatizna, which makes us think of Znus. Zana means to turn away. Makes us think of Znus. The problem is, the Mefarshim pointed out, it says Vatizna elav, on him. So it sounds like it's something personal. Znus is personal, but it's also an objective Maisa Avera. What's Vatizna alav? That's probably what drove Chazal to darshan that there was something else wrong here. Gittin davav mebeis. The Gemara says, Vatizna alav pilagsho. What did she do wrong? Rebbe Evyatar amar zvuv matzalo. There was a fly in his soup. There was a fly when she served him soup. There was a fly in the soup. Rabbi Yonasan Amar, Nima Matzalo. Rabbi Yonasan says, Nima, what is Nima? A hair? It means in the Makam Ha'erva, where women usually in those days shaved, she didn't shave, and it was, you know, it was very painful for him when he was with his Pilegesh. And that was the problem. But either way, two different deas, not taking the word snus literally. What's amazing is that there are only two places in Shas where Elu ve'Elu appears. Divrei Elokim Chayim. This is one of them, because the Gemara continues there. Va'ashkechei Rebbe Yatar le'Eliyahu Anavi. Eliyahu, Rebbe Yatar, one of the people in the Machlokas here, meets Eliyahu Anavi. Amalei, Maiko Avin HaKadosh Baruch Hu. What's Hashem up to these days? What's he involved in right now? Amalei, Asik B'Pilegesh Begiva. He's learning the sugyas of Pilegesh Begiva, which is, he's learning the sugyas. It was a story that happened. He's learning the lessons of it. What does that mean? Okay, it's a lot that we don't understand here, but let's just continue. Umayka Amar, Amar Lei. So what is Hashem saying about it? So he's saying over the Machlokas. Amar Lei, Evyatar Bini Kachu Omer. Yonasan Bini Kachu Omer. He's saying, Rabbi Evyatar says it was a Nima. He says a Zvuth. Amar Lei. So says Rabbi Evyatar, Chas V'Shalom, Umika Sveika Kameshmaya? What are you talking about? HaKadosh Baruch Hu has a Safik. It's a Machlokas. If you ask Hashem what the answer is, Machlokas. We can say it's a Machlokas. Hashem can say it's a Machlokas. Amalei, what does Eliyahu HaNavi answer? Elu ve'elu, divrei Elokim Chayim. They're both right. Zvuv matzav alo hikpid. First he found the zvuv. Nima matzav hikpid. It was a build-up. Or zuz b'ka'arav, nima boso makom. Right, different dapshata. But they're both right. That's where elu ve'elu is said. Both in the Gemara in Erevin Yud Gimel by B'Shamay and B'Silo. And here's the other one. Why dafka here? Good kasha. The Mefarshim don't really... That I saw, they don't really focus on it. I'm sure there is. We have to research. But this is one of the places. But then you have the continuation. Amar of Chizda. La Olam. Al Yatel Adam Ema Yaseir B'toch Beso. A person should not put too much fear and awe into his family members. Why? Shrei Pelegesh Begiva. Hitala Baila Ema Yaseir. What happened here? She got scared. He threw her out. Whatever. She went back and look what it led to. Look what it led to. Vipila kama rivavos mi Yisrael. And kol amatel ema yaseir betoch beso, sofu bali tishlol shaveros, gili arayi shvichas damim, chilul shabbos, etc., etc. But that's the end of the Gemara, that because of the matel ema betoch beso, that led to terrible, terrible consequences. So what's the message? What's the message? I saw one thought from, I think it was the author of Slobotka, who says, these zvuv and nima, these little things, the message of blowing things out of proportion. Look what happened. A little infraction. A little infraction, so to speak. And look what it led to. It led to such problems with Shalom Bayis, such difficulty, such throwing out of the house, such terrible tragedies. But it starts with something small and gets bigger and bigger and bigger. Bigger and bigger. Says the Ion Yaakov, the Shvus Yaakov, on that Gemara. La'olam! La'olam, what does that mean? La'olam, a person shouldn't put Ema Yisera B'toch Beso? La'olam, even if there's something that deserves a little bit of talking to, it still says La'olam. Always, forever, a person has to control themselves. And there's very scary words as a parent. Very scary words that Revolbi tells us in Ali Shur in the first volume, on page Reish Samach. He says, Elazos, what is the most important lesson and message for a parent to know about parenting? What's the most important thing to know? Chayavim l'shmar al hakesher ha'tivi hazeh l'bal yinatek l'olam. Keep the natural connection that you have with your child, the relationship. Make sure you take very seriously the relationship and do whatever we can to spend time and to talk to and to nurture that relationship. Haketzad, Aser lo adam la'adal emi yisera b'toch beso. He quotes the Gemara. Ki harbe kilkulim ba'im al rov mora. Because so many problems come from too much awe. Too much. Hey, you're my kid. Kabbinis avicha. Ein lecha davar hamekalkelis yachas halavavi bein avos lebanim. There is nothing greater that destroys the connection between parents and children kmo rov mora. Like too much awe and fear instilled in the children. Kshe'aladim od rachim, when the children are still very small. Ala avos lidob leyom shebo yamdo al daitam. The parents have to think about and worry about the time that they're going to be independent. Right now I can scream even louder and they'll do what I say. But there'll come a time when they'll be bigger and they won't have to listen. And a parent always has to think about those days. And he says, Dvarim shalo namru b'sheket v'savlanus. There's never been a lesson taught by screaming, says Revolbi. Never. Never that I have heard of. Any lesson comes with calmness, with quietness, and a parent has to be strong sometimes, but not to be in a way of being matel ema yaseir. When he goes through this, it's really an unbelievable thought. Page Reis Samach Aleph, there in the first volume of Ali Shur. So that's the Gemara. The Gemara gave a Tizna la Pilagsha. That's this Gemara that we have right here at the beginning. So what happens? So she leaves. She goes back to her father's house. And after a couple of months, the husband gets upset. 4 months. Vayakam isha vayelach akareha ledaber lipa. He goes to get her back. I want to get her back. I miss her. And he goes. Vayachzik bo chosno aviha nara. He meets, and the father-in-law seems to be very happy to see him. Right? The reason also, Tosfos says in Gittin Davav, that we assume that this literal, the znus is not literal, batizna isn't literal, is because he goes to take her back. We assume he was an ish kasher. She was actually mezana. She's a surah labayla. So the fact that he went to take her back, and the father, and she eventually went back, and we assume he wasn't a rasha, so that's also why we assume there was an actual znus, that took place here, and he went to take her back. So what happens? He's about to leave, and the father-in-law says, no, stay another day. He stays another day. He wants to leave again. No, stay. He keeps trying to get him to stay more and stay more and stay more. The contrast, the Darkei Musar HaNeviim says, it's the contrast to show that the people of Binyamin who did not practice Hachnasas Arachim, they were different. It's not that it was a plague that infested all of Am Yisrael. You see, this person from Ephraim was trying so hard. He was giving him, being Machnas Arachim, and giving him drinks and food and bread. It was only Shevet Binyamin, the people of Binyamin, that didn't fulfill it. That's the contrast between the father-in-law of this man and the meaning the father of the Pilegesh, and the people that we are going to meet soon. So what happens? They're traveling on the way, and they leave. They finally say, no, we have to leave. It was the afternoon, they travel, and they didn't have time to get all the way back home. So what happens? They have to stop on the way. Where do they stop? The Pasuk Yud Aleph. Heim im ish im yavus v'hayom rad ma'od. The day is going down fast. Tosfos says in Gittin it was Erev Shabbos. It was Erev Shabbos. That's why he says Eletachil Shabbos. Vayomer anar aldonav l'chan navid asur alir ha-yavusi. Let's go to the city of Yavusi. Vayomer elav adon. The na'ar said, let's go stop here. The city of Yavusi was a part of Yerushalayim that was still inhabited by non-Jews. Let's stop here. Ironically, the master says, no, I don't want to stop in a place where there are non-Jews. I'm going to go to the Jewish neighborhood up the block. Right, and we see what happened in the Jewish neighborhood. Ironically, what happened if he would have listened to the Nar? Also, the Nar disappears right after he has this suggestion. Maybe he just didn't. He knew what these people were like, and he didn't want to go there. He didn't want to go to this other place. No, let's go to the Giv'ah, Oberama. Let's go to these places. They went. And all of a sudden, there's no more Narvi. They go to the streets. Nobody's taking them in. Nobody's taking them in. Nobody wants them in. They don't know what they're going to do until Vinei Ish Zakein Bamin Maaseyam Anasadeh Be'erev. There was an older man, an elder, that came from the field. He was working V'ha'ish Mehar Ephraim. From Ephraim. The Pasuk emphasizes he was not a native Binyaminite. Right, who they were all acting the same way, but he was there. Vulgarba give up on Shia Makom B'nei Yemini. It was an area of Binyamin, but he was there, and he took them in. Vayisa Einav Vayar. He lifted up his eyes. The Mishmar Zozov points out, you never focus on anyone else unless they lift up your eyes. If I focus only on myself, that's all me. I have to lift up my eyes to see the need of a fellow Jew. So that's what he did here. Vayisa Einav, he lifted up his eyes and he sees this man that's here. Vayomer ha'ish ha'zakein, ana teilech, where you go, coming from, where you going? I'm visiting. I stop by. I'm going to the Mishkan in Shiloh, and I don't have a place to stay. He says, "Come, please, come back to my house." And he brings him in. And then we have psukim that really parallel psukim from Parshas Vayera, the story of stone. Pasachaves, hey, mamiti v'mesli b'mbinei ansha ir ansha b'nei v'liyal. Nasabu es abayis. They surround the house. Mistakin al adals. They're knocking. Vayomer, and they said, "Let us hotzei us ha'isha sherbal beischa v'nei do'enu." Same lashonos. Use from Vayera. Let us have that man. Rashi says, Mishkav Zachar. That's what they wanted to do. Let us have him. And he says, no. He tries to say no. There are many parallels between this and Sodom, but the Mefarshim also point out differences. The Ramban is the first one to point out the differences. The Ramban in Vayera says, isn't it, he doesn't emphasize it this way, but this is the question he's obviously bothered by. Why is it that by Sodom, Hashem brought tremendous destruction from Shemayim? Wiped out. And here nothing. Here the city was, right, if this wouldn't have happened, maybe nothing would have happened to them. Why did Hashem punish them? So there were a number of differences. Number one, smaller differences. Here it wasn't the whole city. It was people, B'nai Belial. The problem with the rest of the city was that they didn't protest. Not that they took part in it. Difference number one. Difference number two, and this is what the Ramban says, and this is what Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky says, this is what many Mefarshim say. In Sodom, anti-Chesed law was legalized. Meaning there were rules and laws against Chesed. Right, the girl who gave the guest, and they poured honey on her, and they let the bees attack her. That was the law. So that's even worse. When we legalize anti-Chesed, that's terrible. Here, people didn't act with Chesed. That's terrible, but it's not at the same level of Rishus where it was institutionalized. That's the Ramban. That's the Malbim also. The Malbim also says that right here. For the difference. So that's what happens. They go inside, so he finally says, I can't, the guest, doesn't want to go out, and finally he forces his Pilegish to go out. Why his Pilegish? Why is that worse? So some suggest, well, maybe if they were with him, that's Isser Kares. With a woman, with the Pilegish, maybe she wasn't really an Ashes Ish. If she was just a Pilegish, maybe Esther Karkaolam, women are passive in Gilearias, different deos. Either way, Pashta is not the right thing to do. They should have stayed inside, or even if it was, maybe it was at least a little better halachically. But the results were tragic. They're with her the whole night, as we see. And the next morning, what does he do? He wakes up and he finds her about to die on the steps, and then she dies on the spot. What does he do in the tragic end? Vayavol beso, he goes home. Vayikachas ma'acheles. It doesn't say sakin. The Mefarshim don't point this out, but the Machelas, where do we have that Lashon Machelas? By the Akedah. By the Akedah we have the Lashon Machelas. So that's the imagery that we get here that makes us think. He takes the Machelas, Vayachazek Bepilakcho, Vayinatcheha Latzameho. Lashtem Asarnasachim, he chops her up, sends her, to all places, says the Malbim, what's the message? If, just like a limb, a part of a body, can't live without the rest of the body, that's the message with this that I'm sending you, so too, if one shevet is sick in Am Yisrael, it's all of our responsibilities to take care and get rid of the infection that is in Am Yisrael, and that's what his message says the Malbim. That's what he did. There is a machlokes between the Mefarshim, the Mesudas David says, he sent each shevet a piece, and Binyamin he didn't send, because there are 12 shvatim besides. Sent one to Levi also. He didn't send one to Binyamin, because they were involved. The Abarbanel says he sent all 12 pieces to each shevet, and it made the rounds. But either way, this is what happened, and everyone who saw it said, oh my gosh, I can't believe this occurred. Just to end with one tshuva, Rav Moshe has a tshuva from 1967. Rav Moshe has a tshuva. There was a terrible problem in the state of Israel in the 1960s of autopsies, of a certain hospital doing autopsies without permission of the deceased, of the families. So this tshuva was written in Gimel Adar Tavshin Chav Zayin. So the question was asked from Rav Moshe regarding this. Are you allowed to steal the limbs in order to bury? Right? Are you allowed to? A couple of shilas, but the last one was, are you allowed to steal them? And even if you're allowed to steal them, are you allowed to bring them to a protest to show everyone? To show, look what's happening here. Are you allowed to do that, or you have to bury them right away? So Rav Moshe says, I have a raya from Pilegish Begiva. Look, he didn't bury it right away. And obviously he was an Adam Kusher, because what did Tosfos say in Gittin? We mentioned it before. That it must be that she wasn't really Mizana, because he took her back. So it must be she wasn't a Sur Labayla. What do you mean? Maybe he was just a Russia. Tosfos is assuming that he was an Adam Kusher. And he didn't bury in order to show Klal Yisrael what was going on to bring a greater good, so it must be that also there. Also there, he allowed it because it's to bring a greater good. It's amazing. He brings a raya from our story. But devarim mutur la'vi evarim la'havgana shezeyaser roshem yoser al hatzibur lehei aso sa'arat ziburit mishum she'en adom ashmiel re'iya ve'yoa levat alakzera matzinu ki agavne bikroi b'pilegesh begiva. And he quotes Tosfos that it was Adam Kasher. So Rav Moshe even uses this story halacha lemaisa in Yaradeya chelik aleph simin kuf chelik beis simin kufnun. Okay, so that's the first parak, and Be'ez Hashem will continue with the other two prakim related to the story in the coming days.